Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
The noon business lunch now with Paul Nolte, the senior wealth advisor and market strategist at Murphy and Sylvest.com. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the show.
Nice to be with you again. Thank you.
Going to be a good week. What numbers are you looking at?
I'm looking at the Fed meeting on Wednesday. So not so much the numbers, but more the press conference that follows. The expectation is the Fed's going to sit on their hands and not do anything, which may upset the White House a little bit. But the press conference afterwards may be a little bit more exciting because Powell has been on the hot seat and will be until he leaves the Fed chairman in May.
Well, he's been impervious to the president's thoughts or remarks all along. I don't suppose he's going to bend or buckle now that he's this close to the end of his chairmanship. But I hear your point that what matters sometimes is not so much the number, but the remarks afterwards. Do you have a prediction for either the number or the remarks, Paul?
Well, I think the number is going to be stable. And I think based on the economic data that we're seeing, we could see interest rates stay right here for much of the year, if not the entire year. And I think his remarks are going to be more along the lines of, you know, the job isn't done. Inflation is still, you know, a little bit high above their target. But the employment and economic growth continues at a pace that's better than what we've seen historically. And I think that will give them plenty of cover for keeping rates unchanged.
I wonder what the price of gold says about all of this right now. What's your thought about that?
Yeah, gold has kind of taken on a life of its own. It normally is an inflation hedge. It is normally a dollar hedge and maybe a hedge against a global disaster. The problem is you really don't know what it is until you look in the rearview mirror. And over the last 5 or 6 years, it's been more of a dollar hedge than anything else. But this parabolic move that we've seen over the last 3-4 months kind of takes your breath away. I mean, we're up 30% this month alone. It's, you know, like I said, it's gotten to be more of a meme stock than it has been a store of value.
That's an interesting way to put it, but I suppose the most straightforward way to look at it would be that's the traders telling you that they think that the market is overvalued, or it's not a good sign. Let's put it that way, right?
Historically, no. We've seen the last time we've seen a move like this in gold at these levels is in the 70s. You know, again, on an inflation adjusted basis, we've kind of blown through those numbers. But given the parabolic move, normally these don't end well. We saw it with Bitcoin going from 50,000 to 110, 120,000, and now it's sitting somewhere below 90. Still above where it started at 50, but it certainly didn't continue on that move that we saw a couple of years or year and a half ago. So again, it's a momentum thing, and at some point, that momentum will stop.
What's the status of the tariffs that may or may not be waged against Canada?
Good question. What time is it? It's a little after 12.
Yeah, right.
It's subject to change. We saw it just last week with the stuff that was going on in Davos, talking about the banks and maybe capping credit card rates. There's a lot of things that get thrown out that ultimately get pulled back. So, we are definitely higher than we were a year ago for tariffs. The average tariff now in the United States is somewhere around 15-16%, whereas a year ago that was about 4-5%. The story, the discussion is that a lot of the inventory that was bought ahead of those tariffs has now been whittled down, and we're now in the process of rebuying those inventories. And so now we may start to see the inflation come for the tariffs that was promised we would see last year. So that's still out there yet.
You can understand why somebody would say that's calling wolf, right? That we've been hearing
yes.
about the impact of tariffs since way before they were launched on Freedom Day or whatever that was, and we really haven't felt it. I know that there are exceptions to that, but it hasn't been devastating. But you think ultimately we are going to see a significant rise of, in prices that the consumers will pay?
I don't really think so. What we've seen over the last year is kind of a sharing of the tariffs. So you have some companies that have been eating those tariffs and maintaining prices, maybe bumping them up a little bit. Others have bumped it up more, and some of the exporters, not wanting to lose out on the markets, have been willing to cut their prices so that at least the net to the consumer is about the same. So there have been things that have been going on in the background that have softened that inflation blow.
Yeah.
I'm from Missouri. You got to show me first. And we have, you're right, it hasn't shown up in the numbers, and it may never show up in the numbers. I think we'll have a little bit better read on that as we get into 2026 a little bit more.
Or as we get past February 1st. I mean, I guess we shouldn't dwell on this since it seems so tenuous, but we really don't know if we're going to have a, what is it, 100% tax on Canada because the president is mad about what Mark Carney said in Davos about Greenland. Am I following all of that?
That's pretty much it in a nutshell. But like I said, it's still early days, and it's, you know, we're only halfway through today. So give it time.
Yeah, okay. and then Wednesday, some big companies announced some big numbers. Is there a projection on that?
Oh, yeah. We've got Microsoft. We've got Apple, Tesla. We've got some of the bigger chip companies reporting outside of NVIDIA. And I think what a lot of people are going to be looking for there is commentary on AI, what we're seeing on the data centers build out. Are they making money on any of it yet? Are they going to continue to spend at the pace that they have been spending? So there's a lot of moving parts yet. And I think that's part of the reason why we've seen the tech sector actually underperform the broad market now for the last 3 months or so. It's been everything else but tech, as a lot of questions around how profitable AI is going to be for a lot of these tech companies is really coming to the fore.
Have the tech companies been underperforming relative to the market in the last few months, or is that a good sign that the market is just broadening its base?
I think it's a good sign because it was so focused on technology that you're now looking at, you know, you've had investors look at it and go, all right, well, you know, these other companies are doing pretty well. They're reasonably priced. Maybe we'll go over here. Small cap is a huge winner. It's up 7 to 9% this month alone. And that's been a big beneficiary. I mean, if you look at the small cap universe, it's as big as NVIDIA is as a company. You could sell 100% of NVIDIA and buy the entire Russell 2000 index.
Wow.
So it doesn't take too much to get, too much money moving to get that sector going.
Hmm. Is it medical? Is it retail? What sectors are you kind of positive on?
We do like the medical area. That's probably one of the cheapest out there. Financials, I think, in a stable interest rate environment will do well. And staples as a whole have been very inexpensive for quite some time, but there's a lot of moving parts there, too, with some changes to health coming out of the government, what we're seeing on the drug side with GLP-1s. So those are under pressure, but many of those companies, I think, still provide some very good long-term value. Maybe not short, but certainly long-term value. And then finally would be the basic materials parts of the market. And a lot of that is, even though it's metals, not quite gold and silver, but a lot of beneficiaries in that sector as well to higher metal prices.
One last quick question. Is the market factored in no change in the Fed interest rates this week? If they say we're just going to keep it where it is, do you see much movement as a result?
No, we really don't. I think it's about a 94% chance that they're going to keep rates stable. So the Fed is always very good about telegraphing what they're going to do. It's rarely a surprise when we're this close to a Fed meeting that they're going to make a hard left turn on us.
Good to know. Paul Nolte, Senior Wealth Advisor, Market Strategist, Murphy and Silvest, murphysilvest.com. Nice to talk to you, Paul. Thanks for your help today.
Always enjoyable. We'll chat soon.
I hope so. News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom follows this.
I'm Lou Mann.
Means anymore, but we'll keep you posted on that story as it continues to develop. Jim Dahlke is the Director of Communications at TechNexus Venture Collaborative. Jim, I hope you stayed warm over the weekend. How are you today?
Hey, John, staying warm. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, somebody needs to come up with some technology to make it not this cold. I don't even know what I just said there, but I mean, it's been remarkably cold. It's the driving force of conversation these days.
It is. It is. And, you know, the cold is one of those things that some, you know, in Chicago believe it may be working against it in terms of being a city for startups, for technology and innovation. Certainly, it's one of the competing factors when you look at some of the warmer weather cities that are raising some more VC funding than what we see here in Chicago. In fact, the latest numbers from 2025 are in, and the startup funding in the city has actually continued to decrease. Chicago startups last year raised about $2.6 billion in funding, fell to a seven-year low, extending a slump that began since 2022. It's the first year since 2018 that Chicago's total funding for startups slipped below $3 billion. And this comes really as we're seeing funding in other cities that Chicago kind of holds itself against or compares itself against from a startup and technology perspective. Those cities are seeing their funding increase year over year, cities like Seattle, Austin, Boston, not to mention some of the bigger players in California and New York. So Chicago, not exactly a positive picture in totality for venture funding as it compares to some other cities across the U.S.
Yeah. Okay, the weather doesn't help. I'm sure that's not the main reason, or is it? What else is at play here, would you say?
No, I don't think the weather is the main reason. What we're seeing, just a total domination in California right now. And that's really with the AI boom. There's just so much funding flooding artificial intelligence startups. In fact, California startups last year recorded a whopping 62% of all U.S. venture capital dollars in 2025, which is up from 54% in 2024, and even a decade ago, up from 47%. We've seen lots of efforts over the years to, you know, trumpet markets in cities like Chicago, like Denver, like Austin, like D.C., as places to build, thriving tech ecosystems. And that certainly proves true. You can build a terrific technology business right here in Chicago and many cities across the U.S. But, what many expected was that we would see California's control over its percentage of VC dollars begin to slip as, you know, the ability to build a startup anywhere, begin to take shape. Well, what has sort of happened is the reverse of that, that the artificial intelligence wave, the boom we're seeing in AI has, you know, concentrated the AI talent pretty much to the Bay Area, and that's where a lot of the dollars have gone. And that's really been one of the reasons why Chicago struggled to keep up.
Well, AI is different than quantum computing, right? And isn't Chicago kind of a leader in that area?
It is. And the bet here that Chicago is placing is we're getting ahead of quantum computing. So quantum computing really in many ways is still in its infancy. A lot of the technology still lives, you know, at the research lab phase, and is not to market. Whereas, you know, artificial intelligence is very much right in the middle of a market today. And so, what that results in is, you know, many companies who are growing quickly and raising venture capital dollars in artificial intelligence, whereas, the state of Illinois and Chicago are kind of placing their bet for the future, which says eventually the quantum computing boom will be significant as well, and we will have a little bit of a head start because of the infrastructure and the ecosystems in place here to really build out that technology. So we'll see if that bet pays off. But in the meantime, Chicago a little bit behind the eight ball when it comes to AI.
Yeah. And one last thing about that, though. I mean, how bad is that really? If the governor announced that we had a $2.6 billion investment coming to Illinois, we would be thrilled. I mean, that's jobs, that's money, that's all good news. Now, maybe it's less than $3.3 billion from several years ago, but doesn't that get a little lost in the conversation that $2.6 billion was invested in Chicago in 311 deals last year? That sounds like a lot to me.
Yeah, certainly. And I think that that's an important point, right? Just because, you know, that Chicago may be slipping behind, you know, a city like Austin or a city like Seattle or, you know, or the Denver area, doesn't mean that there isn't still quite a bit of really exciting activity happening right here in Chicago. So it's easy to kind of play the comparison game. But, you know, meanwhile, you know, Chicago is in a markedly different place today than it was 10, 15, certainly 20 years ago when it comes to technology businesses, venture-backed businesses right here in the city. And, you know, over the year, we've seen, you know, a handful of local VC funds announced new fundraisers that they put in place, and so you know there's capital here in Chicago in the region ready to deploy, and you know we'll hopefully see a market here in Chicago where more startups can grow and continue to launch and continue to get funded.
No, you got to pay attention to the trend line, but I'll take $2.6 billion. Renterra, what is that business? Why is that in your news?
Yeah, so speaking of funding, a new fundraise for a Chicago startup called Renterra, $9 million in Series A funding. This is a software partner, a platform for the heavy equipment rental business. So if you are a rental business that you rent, you know, forklifts and big trucks and tractors, this is the software layer that helps you, you know, manage that inventory, get paid for your rental, know what machines are out on lots, what machines are coming back and when they're coming back, really just kind of streamlining all of that information. So, yeah, a really, you know, a very kind of Chicago-type business, right? So the heavy industry business, the industrial economy, you know, very big throughout the Midwest, and so that you can really see the value in a software platform like Renterra. And $9 million shows that they're ready to grow.
And Zarmanali Pediatrics, if I'm saying that right, what's that business?
Yeah, so, you know, speaking of large fundraising rounds, you know, one of the reasons that Chicago has kind of slipped in the city rankings is because there haven't been a ton of these sort of large mega funding deals. Well, this is a startup that did just that. So this is a business called Zarmanali. They are a pediatrics startup, raised $110 million in Series A funding. They are all about creating pediatric facilities and the tech software underneath it to kind of create a one-stop shop for pediatric care. So it's not just an urgent care, it's also the specialties as well. And so basically, you know, it was really born out of this idea that, you know, pediatric care can get so complicated when you have to go to the specialist in one side of town, to the urgent care, which is on your other side of town, and to your mental health and behavioral specialist on the other side. This is a facility that centralizes all of that, brings pediatric care into one place, and then creates a tech software layer underneath for, you know, virtual visits and visiting management and everything else you need on the tech side. So $110 million for a really interesting new Chicago startup that just launched about 2 years ago.
Jim Dahlke, Director of Communications, TechNexus Venture Collaborative. Okay, good to know. Keep us posted, Jim. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Mark Sottolino joins us now. He is the partner at Cafe Baba Reba, which is celebrating 40 years in the business this year. Hey, Mark, it's John. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, John.
40 years. Restaurants don't normally last 40 years, do they?
No, they normally don't. We're very proud and humble to, you know, have been a fixture in Lincoln Park and in Chicago for, you know, like I said, entering our 40th year.
Yeah. I think one of the numbers I also just jumps into my brain is that restaurants are lucky if they make it to 5 years and if they are profitable, and then 40 years is exceptional. That's an outlier. I wonder why. It helps that maybe you're part of Let Us Entertain You, but talk a little bit about why your restaurant has been so successful.
Well, certainly being part of Let Us Entertain You provides us with an incredible infrastructure, an incredible frequent diner base, and a great following. I think we were extremely lucky and fortunate, and apparently we had some foresight to get into the Lincoln Park neighborhood way back in 85 when it had not yet been developed, not what it is now. And we've, as the community has grown, as Lincoln Park has grown and flourished, we've been there as a part of it. And it seems like even though we keep getting older, we still have a really strong base of, you know, your 22 to 35-year-olds that are in the Lincoln Park area, whether they're from the DePaul area or they're just bought a new home in the area, and we benefit from that.
Is it still a first date location or a romantic spot for some people?
first date, and at this point, it might be some people's 40th date. We've always done well with large groups as well. So many times I've had people who have told me they've had their wedding rehearsal dinner here, and then a baby shower, and then, you know, sometimes even a celebration of life down the road. So we've been a part of people's families and their lives for a long time now.
I suppose it's possible that you can't always control your clientele, like who's going to gravitate to the space. But was it your intention for it to have that sort of a vibe when it all opened up?
Yeah, you know, it's always been an extremely fun, lively environment. That's part of what's special about it. So along with the price point being relatively reasonable in this climate right now, yeah. Check average is not too much. And then you're going out for fun. It's a very social style of dining, which is tapas style dining, and people really enjoy it. So I think it helps us with the exact demographic we're looking for. And it sustained us pretty well.
Does Baba Reba translate to something? What does that mean?
So it's funny. It actually does not mean anything. It is just one of the funky names that we've had in Let Us Entertain You over the years. For years, I always thought it was based on a Spanish folk song that had a chorus of Hey Baba Reba, kind of like Macarena almost.
Oh, yeah.
I found out years later it is a song. However, it is actually came from a 50s polka song that Rich Melman had heard, and he thought it was hilarious. He thought it sounded good. He thought it sounded vaguely Spanish, but very lively. But it's literally like a kind of polka you'd hear in like Sheboygan or Kenosha or something.
Well, don't tell anybody that. But but if you just said, hey, I want to go to a fun place and I saw Cafe Baba Reba exclamation point, I would think that's probably going to be a fun place. Talk about the menu then. It's not Polish food or whatever. What kind of food do you have there?
Absolutely. So we serve a traditional Spanish tapas, which is a small plates of Spain. My dad's the original chef and founder, Gabino Sodolino. He is from Spain. My family's from Spain. And we've been very proud to, along with serving Chicago and Lincoln Park for 40 years, we've been very proud. We're the first tapas restaurant in Chicago. We've been able to give a little piece of Spain to our clientele and our guests, and we've been very proud of that. So the menu's traditional Spanish, and it's evolved a bit through the years, but we still have some of the same classics from 40 years ago.
So what are you doing for the 40-year thing? I know you want people to post their romantic stories to your Instagram page, right?
Yeah, as you said, you asked if it's still a first date place. We've had plenty of people who have, like I said, been here on first dates or anniversaries. So we love hearing those stories and passing those along via social media we've been giving people some little treats and drawings of winners from those stories. And beyond that, our official anniversary was December 26th. So we had a big bash in the just about 2 weeks ago, or actually, yeah, the Thursday, the 15th of January, we had a big bash. We closed the restaurant down and had kind of our greatest hits. We had flamenco show, which we've done in the past. We had gin and tonic bar. We had a pincho bar, which is a type of tapas from the northern part of Spain, the Basque region. We had a big party, and it was a great time. And now we're actually in the restaurant week and moving on to normal business. We're encouraging people to come visit us for a Chicago restaurant week and continue the celebration going into January and February.
Yeah, one last thing about that. I was wondering if the cold weather helps restaurant week. That is, there's nothing else to do. You might as well take advantage of these deals. Or has it been a little soft? What have you been seeing lately?
A little soft yesterday, obviously, with the tremendous snow we had. But all things considered, not too bad at all. Thankfully, again, we're in Lincoln Park, so we do have some people in the neighborhood that can walk down the street and come over, and they fortify us always. The weather certainly does not usually help business, but if someone's in the neighborhood and they can walk over to the bar and have a couple tapas and a drink, then it works out pretty nicely.
CafeBabaReba.com/merch to see all of the stuff that they're putting out there to celebrate their years. And then, of course, they want your love stories on Instagram. Well, congratulations to 40 years. Our best to the crew, and let's do this again in 40 more.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.